recurring vision, and I just had it again only more strongly and more vividly during that last song. It's we're all on a hilltop, and Yeshua is at the top of the hill, and he's pointing up to the Father, as he always does. The hill, this time, the old city was in the background, so good to see the place in Jerusalem. So, Father, we thank you for your presence here. We thank you, Yeshua, that you point us to the Holy One, to Abba, our Father. And we just pray that we would keep our eyes fixed on you and the Father and the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Yes. The word from our wonderful brother, Fred. Fred, come on up, man. Woo!
All right.
Toda Rabba. Thank you, Randy. Is this yours? You can have it. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see so many people. You know, especially it was good to see so many people at the beginning of our time this morning. And maybe wonder if some of you forgot to fall back and turn your clock back. Actually, you know, there was one person I'm really glad that she forgot. 23 years ago, she forgot to turn her clock back. And so she showed up an hour early, and we got to talk. It was the first time ever at that service. And here we are 23 years later, married to my lovely wife. What was that?
Last time she was early.
Yes, but all things work out for the good. All right, well, here we go. Well, we've been doing a series of messages on the prophets. By the way, pray for me. I had this remnants of a cold, so pray that my voice continues on. All right, come on. So we've been doing a series on the prophets, and 2 weeks ago Randy spoke on the book of Joel. And by the way, do you ever wonder if these guys had last names? You know, I like to think his name was Joel Rosenberg. You know, I went to high school with Joel Rosenberg, so maybe his name was Rosenberg. I don't know. But anyhow, they probably had last names. But anyhow, Randy was giving a talk on the book of Joel, and it was highlighting not only the gift of the Spirit, but also the controversy of the Spirit, if you remember his message, over those who believe in the gift of the Spirit, but not the gifts of the Spirit. You know what I'm saying? The controversy over those who believe in the gift, but not the gifts. And it's a controversy that has created a lot of confusion for many Christians. But this morning, I would like to attempt to offer a solution. How many of you know God is not a God of confusion, but he's a God of peace, solutions? Very good. So this morning, I want to try to offer a solution to this situation. And it's a solution that, whether we're, quote, charismatic or non-charismatic, I think it's summed up in the title of the message I'm going to give this morning, which is, We Are Spirit. Everybody say, I am Spirit.
I am Spirit.
We are Spirit. In other words, what it means to be born of the Spirit. Okay, here we go. If you have your Bibles, whether hardback, paperback, digitally backed, whatever, you know, turn with me to John chapter 3. And I'm sure many of you are familiar with this conversation that Jesus is having with Nicodemus. I sometimes like to call him Nick for short. And that's right, Nick. That's why I think of Nick. So, if you could read with me. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the signs, or miracles, that you were doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, Truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, "Truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. What is born from the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is what? Spirit." Remember the verse. "You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." And how did Nicodemus reply? He said, "How can this be?" Huh? How can this be? It's a reasonable question that many of us probably could ask as well if we were having that conversation with Jesus. Now, Nicodemus, he was a what? He was a Pharisee. Who were the Pharisees? Okay, they were teachers of the law. Pharisees, even maybe a little more specifically, they were part of the Jewish renewal movement. You know, there was a Jewish renewal movement in the first century, and these guys were the equivalent to they were the Jewish charismatics of their day. Yeah, they were. Now, why do I say that? Because Paul said it. When Paul was giving his testimony before King Felix, whoever it was, I'm a Pharisee, not like the Sadducees. That's right, who were sad, you see, thank you. Because unlike the Sadducees, Paul said, the Pharisees, they believed in the supernatural. He said specifically, they believed in angels, spirits, signs or miracles. They even believed in the resurrection. These are the Pharisees. You know, usually you think of the Pharisees as like the unmost spirit-filled people. I mean, they believed in the stuff. They believed in the supernatural. Obviously, Nicodemus did, because he came to Jesus when? At night, to talk to Jesus, because he saw the what? The signs that he did. Then why do you think he came to him at night? Huh? Okay, yeah. You know, it wasn't cool to hang out with Jesus at that point. You know, Jesus was kind of a little bit anti-establishment. Did you ever get that? He had a bit of a problem with religious hypocrisy and corruption in high places. So they weren't real keen on hanging out with him. So he went to see him by night. Rudy, you want to say something? I can tell. Oh, there we go. Too busy, Pat. There we go. Okay, we'll write that one down for further. You can just ask Rudy. So Nicodemus, he's a Pharisee. He's also what else? If you read the rest of the passage, he's a teacher, as Paul said, he's a teacher, and he's a ruler. He's a member of the ruling council, which was called the Sanhedrin. So Nicodemus was a macher. You know, that's a Yiddish word. He's an important dude, okay? And he's coming to Jesus to like check out Jesus. But I think he's more than just checking him out. Something in his spirit is saying there's something different about this guy Jesus, and he's hoping to find out what it is. So at this conversation, after Jesus says what he says, Nicodemus says, "Well, how can this be?" Well, in other words, here's the thing, Nicodemus, he was a Pharisee, but he lacked spirituality. He was a Pharisee, but he lacked spirituality. He was religious, but he was not spiritual, and he didn't understand the difference between the two. Nicholas, he needed to be born again. He needed to be born of the Spirit, and so do we. But you know, even though that most Christians are born again, they don't necessarily know fully the implications of what it means to be born of the Spirit, which is to say, we are Spirit. Jesus says, what is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Oh. So we are Spirit if we are born of the Spirit. Now, first time I heard that, it was from a non-Christian. He looked something like that. His name is Hare Krishna. How many of you ever met Hare Krishna? Well, this is kind of what he looked like. The guy I met. That's not me. Actually, that's me. And that's what I looked like when I met him. This was back in 1971. Yeah. And believe it or not, I actually had hair. And are you okay back there? Hare Krishna. All right, not yet, though. This is B.C. Can you tell? And so I'm at UMBC. I'm a student at UMBC. And it's between classes. And this Harry walks in the room. And he says, "Hi, Fred." I went, "Huh? How do you know my name?" He said, "I'm Bruce." "Bruce?" And then the light bulb went on. This was a guy I went to high school with, Bruce North. I went, "Oh my God, what happened to you?" He was the first Hare Krishna I ever met. And so I said, "What happened to you?" And he began to tell me about what it means to be a Hare Krishna, and which I knew nothing about. And he said, "Krishna is a word for God who is the all-attractive one, the one who is the fullness of pleasure. And our lives are to be about devoted to the pure love of God." Wow. If I was a believer, I would have said, "Not bad." And then he said this. Then he took my hand, and he put my hand. He had me take my hand, place my hand on his arm, and he said to me, "Fred, this is not me." I said, "Say again." "Fred, this is not me." "Okay. What are you?" And in his to reduce all that he said in a few words, he essentially said, "He's spirit." And I said, "Okay. Good meeting you. Come again." That was the end of conversation. And it didn't make sense. But just a few months later, I had an encounter with God. You know, I've learned something since that encounter, that, you know, all religions have some truth, but only one person is the truth. He said some things that were true. You know, God is all attractive. He's beautiful. He's the fullness of pleasure and joy. Life is ought to be all about loving him. And that we are not just this. We are more than this. So he actually said some things that were true. But it wasn't until a few months later that I met the person who is truth. And when I met that person who is truth, I found out he said the same thing, but better. He said that those who are born of spirit are spirit. That sounded like what this guy said. And then I finally read the Bible. You know, I never had read the Bible. I met Jesus before I read the Bible. Anybody like that? I actually met Jesus before I read the Bible. So I started reading the Bible, and I found out that not only did Jesus say this, but so did somebody else. His name is Paul. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, he said, let's read it together. "Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes." So what is Paul saying? He's saying that we are spirit. We're a spiritual being with a soul, that is, a personality, that lives in a body, at least for now. We're a spirit who has a soul that lives in a body. Now, most people don't see it this way. Most people see themselves as not spirit, soul, and body, but what? body, soul, and spirit. Something like this. Poor guy. It's what the Bible talks about as our old nature, or our pre-born again nature. In other words, all of us, if you look at the diagram, all of us are tuned in or are conscious of the outer world. How's that? Through our five, come on. Anybody know what they are? There you go, that's right. Okay, all of us are in tune with the world. I don't care who you are. If you're alive, you're in tune with the world, the outer world. You're world conscious through your five senses. Some of us are tuned in, that is to say, conscious of our inner world. Through our what? Through our mind and our will and our emotions. Some of us are aware of who we are, of our mind, our will, and our emotions. We're self-conscious. That don't mean, you know, I can't walk out today because I don't have the right socks on. No, self-conscious, that we're self-aware. Now, did you ever hold your dog up to a mirror? Your cat, your mouse, whatever you got, you know. And, you know, I mean, I've done that. Every dog I've had, I'll hold them up to the mirror. I just come and say, come on, look at yourself, come on. And they're like everywhere. And like, come on, there you are. And, you know, why is that? They don't have any self-consciousness. They're not aware of themselves like you are and like I am. We're different, aren't we? Hallelujah. Dog's got a good life, but, you know, I'm not jealous. Come on, some of you have gotten jealous of your dog at some point in life, I know, because I have too. All right. So some of us are tuned in, conscious of our inner world through our mind, our will, our emotions, our soul. Less of us are tuned in, that is to say, conscious of the spiritual world. In fact, most people, seems like, at least those who are pre-born again, are unconscious of the spiritual world. Just not even sure that it's even out there. It's what I call, in this state of our old nature, having a bad connection. So something has malfunctioned in our spirit as a result of the fall. It's kind of like, how many of you remember having dial-up? Remember dial-up? You know, your computer dial-up? It's horrible. I mean, you know, like, I mean, if you do get online, usually you don't stay online. And then you got to get through all the static and the beeps and the whistles. And I mean, it's a slow and it's a horrible connection. And it's usually dropped over and over again. That's what it's like in our old nature. It's a horrible connection. It's not a good connection. And that's our state, in this state, called our Adamic or old nature. Now, what does Paul do? Paul reverses the order because Jesus has reversed the effects of the fall. What did Paul say? I pray that your spirit, soul, and body. He reverses the order because Jesus reversed the order, reversed the effects of the fall. So it looks something like this. We have a new nature. We are spirit. If we're born again, we're no longer a body soul with a malfunctioning spirit. We're now spirit, soul, and body. A spiritual being who has a soul who lives in a body. We have a new spirit with a new connection to God. Now, how many of you ever went from the dial-up modem to DSL? That was my next. I went from dial-up to DSL. Did you ever wonder what DSL stands for? Well, here, if you never didn't know, now I'm going to tell you if you didn't know. Direct spiritual link. Very good. Direct spiritual link. You didn't know that? Yes, well, now you know. So if you are born of the Spirit, you've been restored, your spirit's been regenerated, and now you have a great connection to God. You have a direct spiritual link. Why? Well, Paul tells us in Romans 8, verse 10, if Christ is in you, then your spirit is what? Alive because of righteousness. Not because you're so righteous, thank God, or me, but because of his righteousness. Because if Christ is in you, then your spirit is alive. But there's more. Not only do we have a new connection, DSL, new spirit, but we have also new DNA. Now, how many of you know what DNA stands for? Okay, here we go. Divine nature assimilated. And resistance is futile. Here's what Peter says, 2 Peter 1:4. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to become partakers, come on, of his what? Divine nature. And escape the world's corruption because caused by sinful desires. We become partakers of the divine DNA. Now, C.S. Lewis, he called this a good infection. Remember, if you read Mere Christianity, he called it the good infection. Well, I like that, but I have another one. I call it the good injection. Now, those of you who know me, I'm a bit of a sci-fi junkie. I love sci-fi. I love fantasy. You name it, and I'll watch it. You know, it's just good stuff. In case you don't believe me, I'm in good company. Come on, I'll tell you why. Lloyd Alexander, he's a if you haven't heard of him, he's a well-known American author. He's deceased now, but he said this: fantasy is hardly an escape from reality. It's a way of understanding it. And better yet, come on, talk about being in good company. Albert Einstein. The gift of fantasy has meant more to me than my talent for absorbing positive knowledge. So if you're like me, you like sci-fi, fantasy, you are in good company. Now, I don't know if you know, I don't know if you've seen this, but my latest trek into sci-fi fantasy was a TV series called The 4400. I can tell I'm alone in this. I am feeling very alone right now. You saw it? Oh, I feel better. Okay. I didn't hear it, but it was probably good. So, since you haven't seen this series called The 4400, it's about 4,400 people who were abducted, not by aliens, but by humans from the future. So they were abducted, and then they were injected with this substance we will later find out in the series called promycin. And this substance, promycin, gave them, well, when they got back, gave them special abilities. Ooh. What you might call supernatural abilities. And they were sent back to save the world. How? By changing the world. Did you like that? This is one reason why I like science fiction and fantasy, especially when it reflects reality. Now, we weren't abducted, but we have been adopted. Yeah, we've been adopted and injected with divine DNA, who is what? The Holy Spirit. And we've been given what? Special abilities. Come on. For what purpose? To create a better world. Isn't that cool? You have been adopted, injected with divine DNA, regenerated by the Spirit, and sent here, commissioned with new abilities, special abilities, to create a better world. Now, if you don't like science fiction fantasy now, come on. All right. Now, so that's pretty cool. All that's good. But there's more. Not only do we have a new connection, new DNA, but we also have a new identity. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. We are a new creation. We are in Christ. What's it mean to be in Christ? To be in union with Jesus. In Christ. New identity, new DSL. Here's the thing. We're no longer a sinner separated from God. We're a spirit inseparable from God. Now, what does that mean? That means if you're a new creation, you ought to have a new confession. A new confession. Now, some of us confess that we're sinners. How many of you are a sinner? Okay, just some of you. It's one of those trick questions. I know, that's why some of you aren't raising your hand, because you know you're going to, okay. Well, yes, you're a sinner, but if you're in Christ, it's past tense.
Thank you.
You were a sinner. Now you are what?
Saint.
You're a saint. Now, when you read the letters of Paul, and he says, to you sinners in Corinth. He doesn't say it, does he? He says, to the saints in Corinth. Or he says, let's take an offering up for the sinners in Jerusalem. No. He says, let's take an offering for the saints in Jerusalem. He's constantly referring to the believers as saints. But so often we refer to ourselves as sinners. Well, if you're born again, if you're born in the Spirit, guess what? Your DNA has been changed. You're a partaker of the divine nature. You have a new spirit. You are in Christ. You are in union with Christ. You're a saint. So let that be your confession. Now, we're good at making bad confessions. Come on. So am I. But I'm trying to train myself to make the good confession. To train myself to confess the truth. Now, so let's do a little exercise here. Some of you are good at saying you're a mess. I'm a mess. Don't raise your hand. But what would be the truth if you're in Christ? Give me an idea. Instead of I'm a mess, I'm a what?
Blessed.
Who said it? That's,
you're a message.
Blessed? That's what I came up with. Come on. I am blessed. Why are you blessed? Because Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verse 3 says, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Is that true or not? It's truth. Oh, how about another one? I'm stupid. Thank you, Nick. I'll receive that. Oh, what's the truth? Who's I heard somebody say it? That's it. I have the mind of Christ. That's a pretty cool mind to have. How many know Jesus isn't stupid? And neither are you. How about this one? Sometimes we say, I can't do it. Ooh, here we go. I can do it. Very good. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Some of us say, I can't sleep. Yeah, so that's close to what I had. Better to say, I lie down in peace and sleep comes at once. That's scripture. Some of you have trouble sleeping. And that little thought goes through your head when you lie down. I'm not going to sleep tonight. No, don't confess that. Confess the truth. Because you're in Christ. Some of us say, I'm a failure. What's the truth?
Child of the Most High.
That's true too. Yes, let's see if anybody got what I got. Oh, there we go. I am more than a conqueror through Christ. I'm victorious. More than a conqueror through Christ who loves me. Some of us confess, I'm afraid. What's the truth? Okay, a lot of good ones for that one. How about, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Wow. See, what's going on when we confess the truth? What happens? Faith comes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When we confess the truth, faith comes. And faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And faith in the truth of God's word releases the power of God's word into your experience. And the truth, Jesus says, will set you free. It's simple. It's not like going through three different stages of Krishna consciousness and, you know, wearing saffron robes. No, it's Jesus makes it simple. Truth. I am the truth. Well, so we have a new connection, new DNA, new identity, but there's more. We have, as I already alluded to, we have new abilities. Oops, forgot one. Okay, that's good. I have no future. No, that's not true. And a hope. That's right. Very good. Yes.
Can I just bring up one thing? In science, there's a lot of DNA strands that we call junk genes.
Come on. I'm done. No, good segue. Yes. Thank you. Yes, so we have new connection, new DNA, new identity, and new special abilities. John 14:12. Jesus says, he who believes in me will do what? The same works I do and greater. Now, most of us in this room believe in Jesus, right? So we all believe in Jesus, but we're having a little difficult doing what he did. Now, why is that? Jesus said, if you believe in me, you'll do what I do. Well, let me offer maybe a simple reason why that may be the case. We believe in Jesus, but maybe we don't believe like Jesus. Ooh. So what did Jesus believe? Jesus believed he had special abilities. And he could do what the Father called him to do. Wendy Bagwan said this, and I like this. She said, we can't do what we don't believe we are. We can't do what we don't believe we are. See, if I don't believe I'm a pastor, it's going to be hard to pastor. And there was a time in my life when I first started doing this, people would call me Pastor Fred. And I would say, don't call me pastor. Don't call me pastor. That sounded really humble. But what was really going on is I was like struggling with my identity. Like, I didn't grow up Jewish thinking I'd be a pastor one day, you know? So when people started calling me pastor, I felt like, ooh, you know, I'm pastor, I don't know. But because I had a hard time believing it, I had a hard time doing it. And the more I started to believe it, the better I got at doing it.
Amen.
Thanks, Nick. It's good to have an amen corner. If I believe I'm a leader, if you believe you're a leader, you'll do what? You'll lead. If you believe you're a teacher, you'll teach. If you believe you're a counselor, you'll counsel. If you believe that you are spirit, that you're a new creation, that you have new DNA, then you will believe that you also have new abilities. That you will walk in the Spirit, which is to say you will walk in the supernatural, and you will do what Jesus did. That's why I like, if I had authority to do so, I would change the title of the book of Acts. Instead of the Acts of the Apostles, I would call it the abilities of the believers. You know, if you read carefully, it's not just the apostles who are doing this stuff. It's the believers. Because they believed like Jesus. Not just in Jesus. They believed like Jesus that they too, because their DNA had been changed, that they had special abilities just like him. And if you read the book of Acts, oh my gosh. OMG. That's you Facebook people, OMG, you know. Oh my gosh. That's Linda Reinhardt, yes. That's where I got it. Oh my gosh. The book of Acts, the abilities of believers, is full of the abilities of the believers. I mean, I'm going to run through this really quick. Chapter 1, you have disciples talking to angels. How many of you say that's kind of supernatural? Chapter 1, they're talking to, Jesus got ascended, and they're saying they're talking to angels. Cool. You know, that's cool. That means what? That means if they can talk to angels, guess what? So can you. Chapter 2, the Spirit comes and they're all speaking in tongues. That's supernatural. If they can speak in tongues, guess what? So can you. Chapter 3, Peter and John, they're walking to go to church, synagogue, temple. One morning, and there's this guy sitting there, and he's crippled. And what happens? He gets healed. Supernatural. They could do it. So can you. Chapter 5. Even Peter's shadow, his shadow, heals people. Cool. That's supernatural. Chapter 7. Stephen is not an apostle. He sees the heavens open, and he sees Jesus. Right in front, he's being right before the Sanhedrin. And he knows he's going to get stoned if he opens his mouth. He didn't care. He had this unbelievable, he saw Jesus. Saw the heavens open. He saw Jesus. Supernatural. Chapter 8, Philip. He's sharing with the Ethiopian guy. And all of a sudden, right, he gets transported away. I'm ready for that. It would save a lot of money going to Israel next year. Just boom. Don't have to use my frequent flyer miles, you know, just go. chapter 10, Peter goes into a trance, and he has a vision, and he hears a voice. Ooh, that sounds New Agey. No, it's in the Bible. He's in prayer, has a vision, goes into a trance, has a vision, hears a voice. And it's all about this guy Cornelius. Then you read the same chapter. Even Cornelius, who wasn't even a believer yet, he says he saw an angel. Oh, man. Isn't that cool? Chapter 12, an angel appears and breaks Peter out of jail. Not bad. Chapter 13, Paul rebukes a magician and the guy goes blind. That's funny, sort of. It's amazing. Chapter 14, Paul again heals a cripple. Chapter 16, he has a vision of a man. It tells him, go to Macedonia. A vision of a man. Did you ever have a vision of a man who told you to go somewhere? Maybe some of you had. But this is, again, in the Bible. Supernatural. Chapter 19, Paul, his handkerchiefs, his hankies. I mean, you know, I don't know about you, but when I put the hanky in my pocket, it's not usually something I want to give to somebody. Well, they're giving away Paul's used hankies, and they're still getting healed and delivered of demons and demonic stuff. I mean, his hankies. Supernatural. Chapter 28, Paul gets bitten by a snake. I had this tick in my arm. I woke up with a tick in my arm a couple mornings ago, and I didn't know it was a tick. I thought, like, oh, no, I got cancer, you know, like, you know, I see this ugly brown thing on my arm. And I'm like, Kristen, what is this? She goes, oh, well, go to the doctor, quick. That's horrible. It's horrible. And then Megan, my daughter, gets up. I say, Megan, can you look at that? She goes, Dad, it's a tick. You're kidding. It's a what? It's a tick. Well, this tick had embedded itself. And for the next hour, God bless my wife, she's doing surgery on my arm to get this tick out. And I'm online reading about ticks, you know, like Rocky Mountain spotted fever. What's the moment with the circle? You get Lyme's disease. Like, no! I resist that. I rebuke that. I'm not going to get that. Well, that's what Paul said. He got bit by a snake. He goes, no! Nothing's going to happen to me. And guess what? Nothing happened. Not only that, then he heals the chief of the island, and he gets healed. Then all the people, all the other islanders who had diseases, they came to Paul, and they all got healed. Amen. It's supernatural. And there's more. I'm just kind of giving you some of it. Why is all this? Because these believers, They believed they had abilities. They believed like Jesus. Not just in Jesus, but like Jesus. That they had been given special abilities because they're new creations with a new connection and new DNA. So, it's an amazing book, but I believe this. The last chapter has not been written. You know, the book of Acts ends kind of funny. It sort of feels like it doesn't really end because it's not supposed to. We're supposed to continue doing the stuff. Walking in the Spirit, walking in the supernatural. Why? Because we are Spirit. Now, just as we conclude this morning, I just want to invite my bride. Remember, Randy said we have a testimony from the women's retreat. Well, Kristen, I believe, has a good test. She shared with me her experience of the women's retreat, and I said, wow, that is so cool. And I'd already been praying about this stuff, and I feel like she's living it. So let's welcome my wife.
Thanks, Fred. Yeah, that women's retreat was a real wow. And I just want to say, for anybody who couldn't come, you were missed, but the Lord's blessing is absolutely there, and whatever the Lord was doing there, he is present to you wherever you were, and because his impartation is now, and he is, Aslan's on the move. He's doing something. So let me just tell you personally what he did in me. I went very open heart, and but I just love authenticity. So some of you may perceive this about me, that I'm not going to be the first to just, well, gosh, that's happening, so I'm going to like have it happen to me too. It's got to be real. It's got to be real and authentic. So I did not read Wendy Backlund's book before I went. So I was really hit with revelation. And I've given a lot of thought as to how I'm going to articulate this. So please bear with me. But I was given a revelation. It was a shift in perspective. And I've been a believer for a long time and have certainly experienced the rainbow of manifestations and just wanting to be like Christ and serve and be of character and, you know, just wanting my full identity to be in him. I'm on that journey of maturing like the rest of us. But what was imparted to me changed my perspective of where the mind of Christ is in me, okay? At the beginning of the retreat, in the beginning of worship, the Lord gave me an image of Christ's head with a crown, like a burning crown of fire. And I was like, okay, what's that mean, Lord? What's that mean, Lord? And I felt like the Lord said, you know, take every thought captive. Well, I'm explaining this to you because by the end of the retreat, I had a different perspective as to what taking every thought captive meant. Because I was like, okay, you know, got to discipline my mind, you know, work it. And I knew that was from the Lord, and I knew that was a gift. But that was my interpretation and understanding. And then as the revelation and impartation started coming from Wendy's testimony, she said two things that really changed foundationally the premise of my understanding, which was number one, that the God himself, his presence, has more substance than the realm that we live in here. And I mean, I know that's absolutely true. And then she said, I just want to say that again. So that the substance of God and the spirit which created this seen realm is greater than the seen realm. I had no problem with believing that. But then when she started talking about the mind of the spirit is right here, where our spirit is born again. And I'm going like right here. So here's our fleshly mind, and then here's the mind of our spirit, where our spirit is born again, where we know God. And for some reason, that's where the Holy Spirit alighted for me. I could feel this shift, and all of a sudden, I realized that it's not that I'm not in touch with this or that I wasn't in touch with this. I mean, I am, but I did not connect faith to the experiences that God had given me. And I don't mean 100%, but again, just a fresh, new, and progressive awareness to mature me in the things of the Spirit. So let me give you an example. Like the Lord has given me beautiful, beautiful visions and dreams of things that I want to repeat that have drawn me closer to God. And I'll like receive those things and be like, wow, Lord, thank you so much. But then I don't necessarily in my past attach it to faith that God is speaking to my identity through some of those gifts. Or I'll be in the service and like I'll have my hands up and I'll really feel, you know, just the presence of God coming to me. And I will receive that, but then I hadn't in the past necessarily attached faith to it to realize that the Lord was anointing me for something. So the mind of my spirit has grown more aware and more conscious of my identity as a child of God, that is more prominent. My identity in the spirit as a child of God, that and in tune with the supernatural realm where my Father interacts and dwells, and that's just really affected my faith in a big way. I feel so much more confident. I'm just going to share this with you, and I share this with you in a humble way, and I know you'll rejoice with me. But like the Lord over the years, He's always like put this crown on my head. And I've really, like, over, you know, in the past, fought him on that, like, wow, Lord, that's really nice of you, you know, try to lift me up, you know, thank you, I received that. But not really realizing that he's just wanting me to walk in my authority, because we are seated in heavenly places in Him. And He's just been wanting me to just not receive that, just to say, okay, that's nice. That's nice. Okay, I like that image, you know. But that, Kristen, this is who you are in me. This attaching faith to God's word. And so just that's a lot of how I've been interacting more with the things in the spirit. So the other day, this is what Fred wanted me to share, like maybe one thing that it was affecting. As I was walking, I've just been in such joy in the presence of the Lord, just attaching faith to everything that I know is from Him, especially His love for me. And I was just in such joy knowing that I change the atmosphere wherever I go. I just do. I know I do because I'm born of His Spirit and I have authority in Him. So I'm walking along, really enjoying my walk with my dog. And I see these two guys, you know, they're working across the street. So I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord, for putting them in my path. I'm just going to pray for them as I go along because I know I affect the unseen realm and, like, let the light go forth out of me because, you know, you love those guys. And usually as I'm walking back down the street, I would cross back over and not, like, interfere with them. But this time I thought, I'm gonna walk right past them. And then I couldn't resist. As I'm walking by them, I was like, okay, I got to stop. So I said, hey, hi. I said, I know you might think this is a little loony because, you know, I don't know you, but as I'm walking, I just wanted you to know that I was just praying for you guys. I really feel the, you know, God's love for you is so great, and there is hope for every situation in your life, and I just bless you and your families, and I just want you to know that God's pursuing you. And, okay, here's the reaction of the two men. One's tall, one's shorter. And this was really cool. My spirit was awakened, and this is, I recognized it. I allowed my rational mind to recognize the largeness and the reality of the perception of the spirit of my mind. So I knew that everything I was picking up was actual. So instead of rationalizing it away, which I've done in the past. So I'm looking at the one guy. He was very polite, but he really wanted me to leave. So I'm just like, Lord, let that seed grow. And then the other guy, he was listening to every word I said. He was like a sponge. I believe I was sent there for him. I do not know what was going on in his life, whether there was, you know, just he was hungry for God. But I know that the water of God's spirit in me was watering his spirit. His eyes were so, like, I could feel his spirit just saying, I want this, I need it. And who knows what he was going to apply that to in faith to his own life. And I just, as I left, I just said, Lord, water those seeds. And please put other believers in their life, wherever they are at in their journey, that you would just take them along to the next level. So I had so much joy. I just, thank you, Lord. Sorry.
Thank you. Yes. Well, thank you. Well, so as we close, here's my encouragement to you this week. You know, if you hear a message, sometimes you can sit there and go, well, okay, nice message. Wow. Time's a football game. Or what can I do to appropriate this message? So here's my encouragement. Become like him. SpongeBob! So you can become SpongeBob. We have another SpongeBob, you know, another SpongeBob, right, Sponge Nick, Sponge Melissa, Sponge Marguerite, Sponge Debbie. I mean, we can all do this thing, can we? Because we're all a sponge. Kristen held up the sponge. Now this sponge is really dry. And some of you may feel like this right now. Your spirit, this is your spirit, kind of dried up and hard. But you know what beautiful thing about a sponge? It responds so quickly to being soaked. That's why Paul says in Ephesians 5, to be filled with the Spirit. Again and again. In other words, he's saying, get soaked. Soak yourself. He's saying, use contemporary language, soak yourself in the Spirit. And what is this? What happens? You put the sponge in water, in no time, what happens? Right. It absorbs all that water and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And let that be a picture for what happens to your spirit. Because you are your spirit, soul, and body. But you're, first and foremost, your spirit. You are spirit. Got that? So when you soak in the Spirit, your spirit expands. So what can you do this week? Soak in the Spirit. Turn on some worship music. And just soak. Soak. Or pray in the Spirit. That's what's beautiful. For those of you who have the gift of praying, gift of tongues, use it. Remember a few weeks ago, I gave two talks on praying in tongues. Use your gift. Because when you pray in the Spirit, guess what happens? Your spirit soaks and gets bigger and bigger, and you experience more and more of the presence of God. So let's stand and let's close by praying this prayer together. If you can't see it, well, just listen. So before I pray, I just say, Lord, I just thank you for this morning and just for the sense of your spirit in this place. Thank you for the gift of the Spirit. Thank you for the wooing of your spirit. And I pray, Lord, for anybody here this morning that, like Nicodemus, is still wondering, what is this spirit thing? What does all this mean? What does it mean to be born of the Spirit? So Lord, I just pray that you would just let anyone here this morning just know it's really simple. It's just inviting you, Jesus, into our spirit and saying, Jesus, come. By your Spirit, live inside of me. If you've never done that this morning, this is a wonderful, perfect time to pray that simple prayer. Jesus, thank you for giving your life for me. Come and live inside of me by your Spirit. And I thank you, and I receive. So let's all together pray this prayer. Father, thank you that through Jesus I am born of the Spirit. Thank you for giving me a new nature, a new identity, and for giving me new abilities. Thank you that I can now live in the Spirit and walk in the supernatural because we are one in spirit. Help me to realize that I am spirit in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Fred. Wow. Yes. Amen. Amen. Wow. It's a couple just thoughts here to connect with Fred with what you shared. Thank you, brother. I just double checked it online, the beauty of modern technology. But 80% of what comprises the universe is unseen. 80%. Not that we can't see it. In other words, like galaxies we haven't yet seen, but it's unseen, 80%. Pretty amazing. And I was reminded of Peter and Paul walking into, or Peter and John walking into the temple. And I came out of the Safeway in Columbia this a couple days ago, and this man was begging for money. He says, "Sir, do you have any change?" And I reached in my pocket, and I did have change. So I felt like I needed to give it to him, and I did. And then I noticed he had a brace on his leg. And I said, "Could I pray for your leg?" So we can do both, you know. That's right. Amen. Well, it's been a great morning, and we're going to have some time for prayer for anyone that would like prayer this morning before we are dismissed. Or after.